Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. All you got to do is text me. There's one text I'll get to here in the next segment. I think it's an important text, but you want to stay tuned for that. Joining us now, Blast from the Past. Well, it's been a long time. It's just pre-session. So here we are. I have not asked you to be. It's probably my fault. 6 months now. But former State Senator Rusty Glover making time for us. Always a pleasure. Senator, good morning. How you been?
Just fine. Great to be on the program, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, you and I are talking about this off air, and I've been talking about it a lot this morning, and I kind of, Todd Stacey, I don't know what to do with that, but there was a committee, a joint committee hearing yesterday in Montgomery, and they were talking about school funding, and they want to, the claim is this: we have this outdated formula that's from the 1930s, and then they tried to adjust it in the 90s, but we're paying out from the state money per pupil, per head, or whatever to these systems, and that is not the best use of the money. We need to update our formula. And what I don't understand is, okay, but they claim you're not going to take any money from these systems. What do you think is this idea of, I guess we call it equity funding? I mean, is there a real appetite for that in Alabama?
Well, I'll assure you it's not a big appetite in Baldwin County, because a good reason why they're increasing property taxes from time to time is because they're losing so much money to other counties. And you can understand to a certain extent, you know, those from Monroe and Escambia and Washington, Clark County, you know, those residents, they go down and stay in the condos, spend money in the restaurants. Okay, understand a little bit of that. But any more equity funding releases of Baldwin County money to other counties or Mobile County is to the point where they would have to have a property tax to raise money to keep up with current expenses would be ridiculous. And I can understand any kind of a pushback towards a new formula which would actually take money away. And absolutely, it would take more money away from some of these schools that have the people have invested through their property taxes and built programs and school buildings and systems that sometimes they're proud of.
Listen, that's what the part I didn't understand was, like, okay, we got this pot of money and there are systems that have more need, which we're going to determine whatever the definition of need is, but they need to get more money out of this pot. Well, there has to be a loser somewhere, and no one can really explain that to me. Well, at least I haven't asked enough, I guess. But, that's just how this works, right?
Right, and a lot of us get the picture that there are school systems where the schools, the buildings are just about to collapse. They're in such poor condition, and that's not really the case. I mean, there was one particular county in West Alabama that has some schools that are not in that great a shape, probably in better shape than the schools that I went to in Mobile County in the 70s and 80s, but they're not bad. Most of the schools, the high schools I go to, 5, 6, 7A schools, they're immaculate. I mean, they're in incredible shape. And this is all over. Some of these counties you think that are poor counties, the schools are in great shape. I mean, I've gone to every middle school and high school in the state, and I've visited each one of them over the last 5 years, and I'll assure you, they're in good shape. And many of them are, they're so much better shape than, capital building plans. The needs are not as, there may be some in some places, but they're not as big as what people think. And to have sympathy and say, we need to take money from Baldwin County and Mobile County and send it up to some of these poor counties because their buildings are falling apart, that's just not the case.
Well, maybe there's some things they could do in the margins. If you have more special needs students or whatever. But even then, I mean, you still got to take from the rich and give to the poor, which is sort of, I mean, where this whole, and I mean, like I used the term rich very loosely, their definition of rich versus what really rich means, but you got to take from the haves and get to the have-nots. That's just flat-out socialism.
And another thing, too, Jeff, a lot of these schools in the rural areas, especially in the Black Belt, they are losing population like you wouldn't believe. There are some schools that I've gone to that maybe a third of the buildings occupied, or some of them even less than that, because people have moved out of those counties into other places. And are we sending money to the schools that are losing population in disproportionate measure? I don't know, but it's yeah. The more I hear about this, is more distressing, because you know, this could be Mobile County as well as Ballin County that loses money to this equity funding problem.
Well, I think it's like there was a dust up, and you and I are talking about this. Eric Mackey had given some comments in some kind of webinar or whatever. He got picked up by our buddies at Lanyap. Say, look, if you want to change this formula, that's great. But if you're not going to take money from other districts, then you've got to have additional revenue either from economic growth or from a $2 billion tax increase. That's how you make this work. And it was sort of a freak out from Chairman Garrett. Like, that's not true at all. Why would you say that? Why would you say that publicly? And then Mackey sort of recanted or whatever. But like me looking at it, like maybe he's not wrong. Like if you want to do more for the have-nots and you don't want these local systems, these like Auburn or Vestavia or Baldwin County or Mountain Brook or whatever, not to get less money, then you would have to find more money somewhere else.
Yeah, and with the growth of the education trust fund budget each and every year to this level of, I think it's probably close to $8 to $9 billion, the money certainly has been there over the last few years. I mean, an increase in taxes or property taxes would be unbelievable with the growth in the economy and the growth of the money coming into the ETF as it has been the last three or four years, especially.
Well, it comes down to this to me, and I mean, I don't have a child in the public schools yet, but like I pay significantly higher property taxes, and this is what we made this decision, my wife and I, because we want the best for our children. And because we have taken this responsibility, because we have saved and tried to find the right place. No, you have enough. We're going to give to these people who need more. Just seems like such a ill-conceived idea.
I just can't imagine. I remember one person in particular was Representative Randy Davis, and he would fill me in because he was with the school system in Mobile and Ballin County, and he would fill me in on some of the equity funding issues and the frustration that folks in Ballin County were going through. And so I got a better understanding of that, and I can appreciate the frustration of those, especially in Ballin County, who have tax increase after tax increase, property tax, and then to see more of their money go somewhere else. I can see it could be extremely frustrating.
Joined by former State Senator Rusty Glover, always a pleasure. Senator, something else you're talking about. I don't know how much you keep up with the ongoings of the Business Council of Alabama, but they had their big gathering in Point Clear last week. The 2026 election cycle, Senator Schofield gave a very aggressive speech saying, "Look, we're going to really go. We're really going to go hard here. You better be pro-business." Is the BCA, they seem to have lost some of their swagger over the years. I don't know, but are they trying to, like, do you see them as trying to come back and restore some of the lost glory of the, I think, 10 years ago or so?
Well, this, you know, Tuesday when or Wednesday when you got back, you mentioned that, and that was the first I'd heard, because I didn't go to the BCA conference, but you know, Clay Schofield sat right in front of me in the Senate, and it sounded out of character for him to be making comments in a more of a threatening way, as which some of the I talked to one House member from the Mobile area day before yesterday, and that's the way they took it. And but yeah, it is interesting that they're going to get more involved in campaigns. And of course, I've taken an interest in that because I'm very strongly looking to be a part of that. I would love to get back into the legislature. And so it's something that does spark my interest that they're going to be involved in campaigns, to that extent. But, what all I've heard is kind of vague issues. What do you mean? Is it the mandatory vaccine? Is that going to be an issue that people are supposed to turn away from the people and go with what the lobbyists are telling them to do? I mean, what's involved here? What issues is he talking about? But you know, I don't know. You know, not being there, I'm kind of in the dark on exactly what was said. But I know the reactions were not taken very well.
Well, it was very aggressive. Now, look, I'm basing all of my response or what I was a Yellowhammer report, and I've talked to a few lawmakers who weren't there, and they're a little perturbed by this as well. But, Sarah, first, before we go any further, I mean, was that an official announcement of a
No, it was not. I would have to go through paperwork and all this kind of stuff and get campaign stuff together. For the Secretary of State's office, whatever's involved in that, I don't really actually remember, but I'm definitely looking forward to doing that. That's the campaign would not officially start for another 10 months, but I'm anxious to get back there and do the work. I mean, I'll be honest with you and the listeners. I mean, I ran for state auditor primarily to get back into action, to be of help, to be a public servant, and course, being outspent 18-1, that kind of that it ended my chances of doing that, which is fine. But I would serve best where here. That's what I did in the past, and I feel more comfortable doing that. I was able to get over 75% of the votes of the precincts in this area, even when I was outspent 18-1 in the previous election, 10-1, 11-1. So I feel like I would be in a great position to. Again, continue to serve the people in the area. But as far as official announcement, it would be several months away.
so we got the Rusty Glover Exploratory Committee here, perhaps. Something
that would be a better way to put it.
Yeah. Back to 26, and now Senator Williams is running for ag commissioner, so that seat is obviously opening. But
that's correct.
I saw Todd Stacey about this as well. I mean, you know, you typically see a lot of like turnover. Then there were a few incumbents who got knocked off, like Kelvin Lawrence, a Democrat, Charlotte Meadows. I mentioned Tommy Haynes. I mentioned Prancy Robertson. But out of 140 members,
Watley by one vote.
Tom Watley. How did I forget my buddy Tom Watley?
What was interesting is in that election in 2022, I had two opponents. Tom Watley had one opponent, and I had like 400 or 500 more votes in Lee County than he did. I won Lee County by 14 points, but he did well in the Senate, and he's missed, I'm sure. But yeah, you're right. There's not very much turnover. Garland Grudger defeated Paul Bussman in the previous election, and that may be it. It's just very few turnovers in the Senate for sure.
Well, speaking of that, I guess the rumor mill has Senator Reed, Greg Reed, going on to do something else, and the potential here we could see a shakeup in leadership in the Alabama Senate. I mean, you got to think these discussions, they piqued your interest at all?
Oh yes. As far as myself, I mean, Henry Clay came in as a freshman House member and became Speaker of the House, but you don't go in as a newly elected person in a position like that.
Oh, no.
But,
when I say pique your interest, I didn't mean are you going to run for pro tem. I just like, this is some high drama here. Well, I understand that. Hey, welcome back. No, but
I think George Wallace, when he was elected to the House in his first term, he was trying to get to be Speaker of the House and back in 46, I believe. But that's a long step away. That's a long step away as far as leadership positions or whatnot. Just getting back up there would be the first step.
I guess I need to ask a question like this, though. Like, You have some changes going on, and I don't know what the governor's race is going to be. I mean, everybody thinks it's probably going to be Ainsworth, but we'll see if Marshall runs. But I think when we're talking 3 years from now, I mean, it could be a totally different landscape, right?
Sure.
In Montgomery, sure. And I'm not really sure what that would mean, but right now things seem, and then this may be the impetus for Schofield's speech at BCA. Could things go in a more populist direction in the future?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It's just hard to look, you know, that far in the forward. You know, like you said before, it's just so little change over. I don't know of, with the exception of Senator Williams running statewide, I'm not sure I know of too many senators that will be changed. It'll be the same group pretty much in the House. I'm not, you know, I don't know how that's going to work out, how many of those members are leaving, but I don't see a lot of changeover.
Yeah, it's kind of a fascinating thing. I do think there is some unknowns up ahead that
will be
kind of interesting to watch. And
it's a lot of unknowns with what's going to happen this November, because that's a major change in our lives. If we continue on the same path we've gone through in the last 4 years, I mean, it would be, I think catastrophic for this country if we were to lose this election.
Well, I think this, Senator, and we'll wrap it up on this. If Kamala Harris pulls it off and she wins, I think 26 is just going to be a hardcore, very Republican cycle. And
I think so too.
I think you start thinking.
But then again, we thought that in the last midterm election too.
That's fair enough. But barring any unforeseen circumstances, no Roe v. Wade being overturned or anything like that.
Sure.
I mean, you look down ballot in Alabama, though, it's going to be very Republican. I mean, if you're like one of these kind of establishment milquetoast Republicans, you better be worried about a challenge in a primary. I think that's what they're kind of considering, at least.
Yeah, and we saw some of this in 2010, a lot of that in 2010, you know, the first midterm elections during the Obama administration. And yes, I mean, that's when the Tea Parties were starting all over the country in communities all over our state. And candidates were very interested in what the people had to say and the wishes of the people and the uprising of discontent because of what was going on in the country. And it is reflected in the new legislature, and I think of what you're alluding to, it could be more turnover than usual, say in the Senate and the Alabama House.
Senator, gotta leave it there. We do appreciate your time. We will do better than 6 months. We'll get you on sooner.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Jeff.
Thank you again. See, former state senator Rusty Glover there, who I think announced his exploratory committee on this program. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And it probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.